Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. My name's Rodney Mathers. We're glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. We got a great show for you today. We're going to do part two of Kathleen Murray's interview, and we're going to spend some time talking about improving your interview skills. All that and more coming up next on The Journey of Hope. Hey, everybody. I wanted to let you know what's coming up on the show before we get started today and future editions. Coming up in the next week, we're going to have Larry Thomas. He was 15 years the Harris County Adult Probation Branch Director. He'll be on the show next week. And then we have James P. Kribel. He's written a book called Troubled Childhood, Triumphant Life. And he has a lot of very interesting things to say to people who have been incarcerated. And then the week of Halloween, we're going to do a special Halloween edition of Journey of Hope, and we'll have Mark Anthony. He's called the Psychic Attorney, and he'll be on the show the week of Halloween. So you want to stay tuned for all of those. Welcome back to The Journey of Hope. We're going to talk about improving your interview skills in this section of the show. Hey, listen, I'm going to go through a list of things. You might want to take out a pencil and a piece of paper and jot some of these things down. These are some excellent tips. Some of them you probably already know, but we're going to go ahead and go through these anyway. Listen, here's the number one. Make a good first impression. And you want to think about the ways that you can do that. And here are some things that you can do to do that. For example, research the organization beforehand. There's absolutely no excuse in the days of current internet technology for you not to, you know, at least Google the company and learn a little bit about them. When you go to the interview, you don't want to be forceful about the fact that you know a lot of things about the company, but strategically drop into the conversation enough information to let them know that you were interested enough to look into the company. Now, this one pretty much goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. You want to dress for success. And here's the reason why I bring this up. You know, a lot of job places, even professional type jobs, are not suit and tie anymore. They're blue jeans and a nice button down, but you don't want to do the interview that way. Go ahead and dress up for the interview. I'm told that this is really the best thing to do. You always want to overdress instead of underdress. I mean, if you want to err in one way or the other, go ahead and put on a tie, put on a coat. It may not be that that work environment has that kind of a dress code every day, but you want to look sharp for the interview, okay? Ladies, dress up. Again, you want to overdress instead of underdress. How about this one? Arrive early. You don't want to be late to an interview ever. You always want to get there early. You don't want to get there an hour early. You don't want to get there 45 minutes early. What you want to do is you want to get there about 15 minutes early. And you want to go in there and listen, nothing wrong with establishing a little bit of rapport with the receptionist. Be friendly with the receptionist. Smile. Ask her how her day is. Be nice. Follow the interviewer's lead. Now, once you get in there, You don't want to start just blurting things out. You want to let the person giving the interview be the one to lead the discussion. Now, you need to keep in mind when you're sitting there in the interview that there are a lot of people applying for the position that you're applying for, most likely. And the person that's doing the hiring wants to get that position filled and probably has other people to interview. Let them be the one to lead the discussion. Okay. Be prepared to answer tough interview questions. Now, look, we know what the interview questions are going to be before we go in there. I mean, it's the same all the time. They want to know, why should you get this job? Where do you expect to be 5 years from now? Those kinds of questions that don't have a right or a wrong answer, where they're kind of probing to see where you're at. And you also want to be prepared to address your incarceration. Now, in the two-part series that we're doing with Kathleen, she addresses what I believe is the best way to do that. So what I'm going to suggest you do, if you're struggling with how to address the incarceration, as you prepare for the interview, go back and listen to episode 16 of The Journey of Hope, where Kathleen gives some very detailed advice on how to do this. And in this episode as well, as we continue that discussion here in a few minutes, but you need to be prepared to address your incarceration. And the way I would suggest that you do that is write some things down. Don't just work through it in your mind, but take the time to write those things down and kind of rehearse your answers. Think about how you're going to respond to your incarceration. There's the issue of the felony. How deep do you want to go into the felony? Those sorts of things. And so write those things down. And, you know, the most important question of all that they're going to ask, as I mentioned earlier, is, why should I hire you? Now, look, make sure you have an answer for that before you go into that interview. Okay. What I would suggest, again, is that you jot that answer down and rehearse it prior to the interview. Now, there are going to be other questions that you can anticipate as well. But as you go through the interviewing process, you need to understand what is really being asked when they ask you the question. And you want to answer the question as briefly as possible. And you want to do it in a way to where you're shining, but you want to keep your answers short. You want to answer the real question by presenting your related skills. If the interview asks you about something that you've done in the past in terms of your job, it would be okay to go ahead and elaborate. That's your time to show that you have the necessary skills for the job. Okay. And I want to go ahead and just throw this in there as well. After the interview, go ahead and continue to try to work that rapport with the receptionist. There's nothing wrong with doing that. You want to give a nice firm handshake, both men and women. And you want to tell them thank you for seeing you, and you look forward to hearing from them soon. And I'm also going to throw in here that after the interview, within 24 hours, I think it's best that you go ahead and you send a thank you note. Now, you have to make a decision on whether you want to do this via email or you want to handwrite it. My suggestion is that you handwrite a thank you note and you hand address it and you stick it in the U.S. snail mail and you send it that way. Remember that it should be within 24 hours and I think you should handwrite it. You know, you need to, this goes without saying, but you need to be sure that it's error free and it's nice and neat where it can be easily read, obviously. But, you know, the content of that thank you note should be very brief. We want to keep in mind that they're looking at a lot of people for positions, especially these days. And you want to keep it short, to the point. I wouldn't go more than two or three sentences, just telling them thank you for for visiting with you, and you enjoyed the visit, and that you look forward to hearing from them soon, and that you're excited about their company. And so those kinds of comments would be what you'd want to put in the thank you note. We're going to come back with part two of Kathleen Murray's interview, and we'll do that right after this. My name's Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Welcome back to the Journey of Hope. Last week, we started part one of a two-part interview with Kathleen Murray, award-winning journalist Kathleen Murray, and we spoke with her about things like resumes and job skills, and we're going to pick up with that interview here. This will be part two of our interview with Kathleen Murray, and Kathleen's going to talk about how to address the felony issue in an interview. She's going to speak on the recent EEOC's decision to have companies eliminate criminal background checks as a screening process. And so let's just pick up where we left off with Kathleen Murray. If you have an interviewer that wants to get into the details of the reason why you were incarcerated, what do you have to say about that? What would you suggest?
Yeah, that sort of is a tricky thing, because a lot of times the tendency is either, and I find it sometimes more with women to start, mm-hmm. Telling a whole long story. But I think the smartest thing is, at first you're trying to be honest, but, basically head off that question.
Right.
My offense had, would in no way, has nothing to do with this job, in no way affect, my performance of this job. I mean, it is okay to say something like, and this is a good point to make too, to acknowledge the employer's concerns. And sometimes you can head off further questions by mm-hmm. just putting their mind at ease. And again, the idea is not to be deceptive, but the idea is, like any other interview, you're trying to put your best foot forward.
Exactly.
And you believe in your heart this is not going to affect your job performance.
Right.
This is the way to present yourself. But basically, to say something like, I understand how you may be hesitant or you may have concerns, but I want to assure you, that I'll be able to do a great job for you, or I have done what I could to put my past behind me. This offense in no way relates to the job. I mean, it's okay to kind of acknowledge that they have concerns.
Right.
I mean, if they get really specific questions, did that happen to you a lot?
I've had it happen a couple of times, and I think I've angered.
How have you handled it?
I just don't go there, Kathy. My feeling, and I'm not sure that I'm willing to suggest that other people do this, but my feeling is that, I committed a felony, and I'm admitting that in the interview, and I take responsibility for it. But anything beyond that, especially if it has nothing to do with the job skills or the job, I really don't feel like I want to go there with someone. Now, it's just a personal choice that I make, and I think I've made some people mad, and it may have cost me a job. I don't really know, but I'm not sure I want to suggest that to other people.
Right. No, exactly. And I think everybody though has to make that decision.
Right.
Because sometimes, again, the point of the interview, the employer wants to see, are you going to be comfortable and fit into this company?
Right.
You also want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you feel, you don't feel comfortable sort of divulging all the, all your past, or you feel it's not relevant and you say that and that's not enough, that might tell you something about the culture of the company, and maybe it's not the best place for you, because perhaps there might be an interviewer, when they ask you, you might feel comfortable saying something.
Right.
But it really is, I think it's an individual choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kathy, listen.
And again, it's being honest. It's, to be quite honest, I feel it has nothing to do with this job. I can tell you it wasn't a violent offense, or whatever. But I feel uncomfortable talking about it because, I've moved on so much since then.
I do think if you want that job, that it's better to go along with what they're asking. But like you say, it's just been my personal choice to not go into that. I just personally feel like, and that's just me talking for what it's worth, but if what they're asking me to do for the job has nothing to do with the offense, I just don't feel like it's any of their business.
Again, it's a personal thing.
Right.
I think if people feel comfortable, mm-hmm. Not giving too much information, but, saying, let's say it was breaking and entering and, mm-hmm. At the time, you were using drugs or whatever, but that, since then you've been clean for 2 years and you've had treatment.
I got to tell you, Kathy, I've got a friend that we have this discussion and this friend of mine says that I'm not handling that right. And here's his argument. He says, they're going to go do a background check. Anybody can find out detailed information for $25 or $30 on the internet and find out everything there is to know. They're going to know anyway. So you might as
right.
well go ahead. You might right. as well go ahead and address it.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, sometimes I find the people that are sort of more comfortable with, mm-hmm. Addressing it have sort of, and a lot of times it's people who've served really long sentences mm-hmm. and they've just come to terms with it. Like I'm thinking of two gentlemen I knew who, one had a manslaughter, mm-hmm. and the other was second degree murder, served long terms, and they are always frank. And yes, it's cost them jobs, but I think for themselves, they feel like I got to come clean about this. I know it was a mistake.
Right.
I've done my time. They're going to find out anyway, so.
Hey, one of the things I've noticed. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I'm thinking one of the gentlemen in particular has said, this has cost me jobs. Because, some people, they freak out. But, mm-hmm. With him, I think he feels like he's in a good place because he's not trying to pull over anything on anybody.
Right.
And I'm not saying that by not wanting to tell people you are, but I just think for him, and for a lot of people that do not, do have less problems with answering the question, they've mm-hmm. just gotten to a point in their life where they realize that it's a mistake they made and it's well in the past. So,
speaking of how to address things in an interview, what about things like mirroring? Are you familiar with that? Do you teach people to do that? Are you familiar with what that mirroring technique is while you're being interviewed?
Oh, mirroring.
Yeah, mirroring.
Mirroring. It was my phone. Mirroring. Basically, I'm always telling people it's a conversation,
mm-hmm.
and listen to what. I mean, I guess I don't get into that specific of teaching those kind of skills.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of more about be yourself, and let yourself shine through, listen, come prepared with, what questions are going to be asked in an interview.
Right.
So write down your answers to those questions. Think about them, think about, your biggest accomplishments, your greatest mistake, all these things people, what you want for yourself in 2 years, 5 years, all these things people are going to ask you.
And maybe learn a little bit about the company
so that you're
prior.
So when you get in there, it's not a surprise.
Right. And maybe learning a little bit about the company prior to the interview.
There's really no
excuse for not doing that. I mean, it's so easy to find the information.
I know. It used to be harder. but mm-hmm. now, again, everything's at your fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, is often what separates the person who gets the job from the mm-hmm. one who just goes in and, talks a lot about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Is knowing you should walk into a job knowing what that company wants to achieve and how you can help them do it.
Okay. One more quick thing, Kathy. I want to switch gears just a little bit. I've been following, and we've been talking about on the podcast, the EEOC's stance here recently, where they're trying to get employers to eliminate criminal background checks. And I know it goes along with credit checks as well. from their initial screening process. Do you think this is going to help ex-offenders? Is this something that is going to help or not? What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, what I keep hope, again, you know, maybe I'm being too hopeful, but I'm hopeful that this will send a message, you know, if the EEOC actually does something. I mean, if some of these lawsuits, like the one against the Census Bureau, if they end up going somewhere, you know, that they would send a message to employers who have gotten too complacent about screening people out. They screen everyone out who doesn't pass a background check.
Right.
You know, that's not legal. You know, you cannot, you know, in most states, you know, there has to be some relation to the job. But again, who's going to come complain? I mean, that's sort of the problem.
Right.
And I think, particularly in a tough economy, that's why they've been able to get away with it so much. But I've talked to, you know, too many people in HR, people who hire, who just say that is how they hire. And I think that's what's got the EEOC upset and thinking, you know, we got to remind people, that they simply can't do this. You know, when we tell, you know, anybody who has a record in their past, well, you know, hang on. It's just going to open the doors for everybody. Of course not. You
right.
know, it's still going to be, you know, you making a connection with that one employer.
Well, I'm hoping that at least,
Kathy,
it'll get more of us to an interview, you know? And, I just think there, and you know this, and I learned this in my prison experience. There are a lot of people who go to prison that, they're decent people who have made a very bad mistake and, made some horrible decisions.
I mean, I always feel like that's the majority.
Absolutely.
I mean, at least people that I've encountered.
Right. I just feel like if more of us could get to the interview, that more of us could get jobs. And so I'm hopeful with the EEOC thing, but I keep reading things and seeing things that, that it's not really going to help much. But I'm hoping it'll improve the chances of getting an interview for a lot of us.
Right. Well, I think that's the thing that you know, whether it's banning the box or, you know, letting employers know that, you know, there's going to be action taken if they're just wholesale banning anyone, you know, based on a record. Yeah, hopefully that will get more people in the interview. And then, like you said, then it's sort of up to the person.
Mm-hmm.
And I just always say, you know, you are, like, overcoming the, you know, what attitudes are.
Everybody has the stereotypical...
Yeah, the stereotypical attitude. Like,
right.
You can only overcome that one person at a time.
Isn't that the truth? It's absolutely true that's the only way to do it. Kathy, listen, it is so sweet of you to do the interview today. And I wanted just to take a second here to thank you for everything that you put out there on the internet. You have just incredible, useful information. And I want to encourage anybody that's listening to the show right now to check out Kathleen's blog and her website and her Twitter tweets. And I'm going to put all that on my little blog next to the podcast.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, so that we'll have links to that. And before I let you go, Kathy, one more thing. I read somewhere where you play around with writing some fiction. When are we going to see one of those books?
Pardon me? Oh, you're so nice. Yeah, I think that I put that on my resume mostly to remind myself. Well, I'm working on a novel now, but I also, you know, like sort of everybody else in this economy, also have to bring in money. So,
really,
business coach writing, yeah.
Kathy, thank you so much for being here. Don't hang up now, okay? But thank you so much for being here. My name's Rodney Mathers. We're going to be right back after this on the Journey of Hope. Hey, everybody. I just want to remind you how you can get in touch with me. You can catch me on the comment section of the Podbean page, or you can email me directly at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's matheresrodney@yahoo.com. Drop me a line. That's all we have time for this week. We're glad you could be with us. Kathleen Murray has some great advice, and I hope that y'all will check out her Twitter feed and her blog. Hey, I want to thank David for the kind email that he sent me this week, and I want to remind all of you something. If God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.